Let's talk cards. I'm Zach Blackerby, Jamie Crossan. Let's Talk Cards is brought to you by Auburn.cards. I want to talk about the best set that's come out in 2026 so far, as well as the numbers on CGC Slabs versus Beckett in SGC. It's staggering. I gave them to Jamie earlier today.
It's wild.
These slabs? I want to know. But you mentioned this, and this clip's done pretty well on social media. Like, buying on Whatnot is something that I just haven't really figured out. That's not what I get on Whatnot for. I get on Whatnot to get into breaks, essentially gambling. You feel like you've gotten pretty decent at buying on Whatnot. What are you doing?
Yes.
Because that's like something that everyone else is losing at, I think.
I don't know if everyone else is losing, Zach. I'll push back on that. I think that there are some people that have figured it out, because I struggle with these people whenever I set a max bid and it goes exactly to that number. Somebody's just beat me to that number. It clues me in on, oh, there's other people doing what I'm doing.
Interesting. So, okay.
Yeah. So I feel like I have made every mistake that there is to make pretty much on Whatnot. I've definitely been in that space where money is no object, where I'm swiping right like those guys that mindlessly swipe right on Tinder when they see bikinis. That's exactly how I feel with, that's how I was. I was guilty. I was just like, I like this card. It's pretty. And I feel like I have come up with a set of rules that have served to guide me not only to make smart purchases on Whatnot, but to profit. And so I actually use Whatnot as one of my main sources of cards. So,
So take us through that, because this is something where I don't know if I haven't found the right rooms or the right streamers or the right shows or whatever that might be. So take us through what that looks like for you.
Yeah. So rule number one for me is I have two devices at all times. I have a device to stream Whatnot, and then I have a device to comp. Now, I use Card Ladder. You can use 130 point. You can use eBay sold. But I found that Card Ladder, if you can afford that, that's the best tool out on the market. I think anyone who really wants to be serious about investing, flipping, doing what we do, needs Card Ladder. You need to make that investment, because
I agree.
The difference between Card Ladder is it records actual transactions. It eliminates false comps. Quick example, if Zach and I are buddies and I want to create a false comp, if I'm selling a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie and the last one wasn't so hot, I might list it as a buy it now for $500 if I'm into it for $400 and the last sale was $350. I list it for $500. I get Zach to come and buy it. He agrees to it. We don't exchange any money, but that listing shows up as a sold on a lot of the apps and a lot of the, definitely eBay, the sold. And so it can present as though, hey, there's a recent comp, even though that money hasn't changed hands. And if you don't think that happens, that happens a lot. That happens a lot, because that is a true thing. And that's what Card Ladder does. It separates that false comp from real comps. So I use Card Ladder. So when I'm into Whatnot, I go into a stream, and the first thing that I do is I have two devices. I have either a phone to stream or an iPad to stream, and I have the other device to comp. On that note, a resetting timer or sudden death with at least 15 seconds is critical. What I found is you're going to have to learn to type kind of quickly. All right. For me, what that is 15 seconds. If you have a resetting timer, you're pretty much gold. And the nice thing about Card Ladder too is that you can, if you have a device, you can, if I have my iPad, I can take my phone, and Card Ladder has an app where you can actually take a picture and it'll pop up. Sometimes that's not as accurate, but again, you've got a short timer and you're trying to just get a comp. You're wanting an accurate comp that you can get, that you can kind of measure against. The real edge comes before the card runs, because you and I have been in those rooms a lot of times, and it'll be a 15 second timer, but they'll show the card and they'll start talking about it. And they'll say, hey, this card is this. Every second that card is not running is critical. So when they're showing that card, you're typing a comp. You are typing, they're saying, this is a 1984 Steve Young. Okay, 1984 top Steve Young. Mm-hmm. This is a PSA 8, or PSA 8, and I'm hitting enter. And a lot of times I can get that information before they ever run the card.
Yeah.
And so what do you do when you get that information? What do you, how do you do it after you've comped? What I do is I will take my calculator. If, let's say the last comp is $100, right? Easy math. You've got a $100 comp. And so for me, and this is, I think, a mistake that I made a lot early on, and I don't make this mistake anymore, because whatnot, you do have fees. You have to pay taxes and you have to pay shipping. When I'm comping, what I'm doing is I'm looking at my total output. I'm, it's not just the price that I give. Let's say I bid on it, a $100 card, a $100 comp card, and I spend $85. I bid $85. Well, I'm not just paying $85.
You're in Alabama, spending like 93, 94 bucks, probably.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So now I think in my head, I've just paid 85%, which isn't great, but I can still make some money. But no, I can't, unless I'm selling that card to a collector, because I've just paid 7% in the state of Alabama for taxes, which, and a little bit of shipping, which takes me up to, like you said, Zach, $93 or $94.
Right.
And so at that point I have $6 to play with, and I'm going to lose that money. And so what I do is I take that $100 and I factor in 7%. I already know what that is. I do it all the time. I do this weekly, multiple times a week. It's 67%. So I'll take $100, I multiply times 67%, so I'm paying $67. That's my max bid. So that's what you do. You whatever your max bid is, you type that max bid in. Make sure that you set the settings in such a way on whatnot that you don't jump straight to your max bid, because you want it to bid like eBay. You want it to give the next dollar above whatever max bid or whatever swipe has just happened. I made that mistake too.
So all that makes sense to me. How often are you finding these rooms where you're able to do that? Because a lot of the times when I jump into these rooms, they either don't run anything that you want, they are running the stuff that you want, and there's a bunch of people in there and the stuff's going for 110% comps.
Right. Well, you just hit on something really important, because the thing that you hit on is essentially rule number three.
Okay.
So rule number one is this, just to keep it simple: two devices or don't play. You've got to be able to comp everything that you're thinking about bidding on. And if you don't get the comp in, don't be seduced into swiping. Don't do it.
Yep.
You don't want to do that. Have discipline. Number two, always use a max bid and know how to set it. You always want and willing to let a card, even if you want the card, if you're PC in the card, that's another matter altogether. You pay whatever you want for a PC. But if your purpose is to flip the card, be willing to let every downtown, because they will, when they see downtowns in those rooms, like we talked about with the Drake May, they just swipe mindlessly.
Yeah. Right.
Like it's insane to me. I know every time, pretty much, it's very rare that I'll win a downtown or an uptown, because I'm only going to, if that card just sold for $360, $380, I know that I'm probably going to be into that card max bid for about $290. And it's not going to ride. There's too many people that are dazzled by the downtowns and they're just going to swipe past it. Be okay with letting the card walk. Be okay with letting it ride. Yeah. It's okay. And then lastly, the second rule to recap is always use a max bid. Know how to set it and be willing to let the card ride. But rule number three, and this is what you just asked a moment ago: if the room gets hot, leave. That's what you have to do. There are thousands upon thousands of rooms of whatnot. Now, they're going to give you the more popular rooms with 300, 200 people, that if you go into whatnot, the first page is, that's kind of what you see. You see the ones that are boosted, generally, you're going to see like a lot of people in those rooms, and more times than not, you're not going to get great deals in those rooms. There are some exceptions for sure. But I don't care how many people are in the room, how big the streamer is, how good the cards are. The room gets hot, I'm out. And here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Even though a room is small, It doesn't mean all you need is two idiots in a pissing contest to lose a card. That's it. I mean, like for a room to get too hot. Sure. And I've been that idiot. And some of these streamers, they know Zach. Like they'll talk you up. Oh, Zach B, Auburn. Boy, he's not gonna let it go. And that ego gets involved, that pride gets involved. Yeah, like, yeah, I'm the man. Cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm the man here. I'm gonna keep giving them money. Yeah, look at me. I'm dominating the room. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My room. Yeah, dude. Don't be that guy.
Right.
All you need for a room to go sour is two guys that are just in an ego trip, going after every card. I leave those rooms. But to answer your question, if a room gets too hot, leave. You will find the rooms pretty easily. Now, some of the rooms, you just got to keep searching. Some of the rooms, there's a quick plug for one room that I go to weekly. It's called Insight Sports, relatively new room. Insight Sports, they run around 10 o'clock at night, and there'll be about 100, sometimes 200 people. But for whatever reason, those cards don't go high.
Okay.
You can find the rooms that have good cards that don't go high, and be willing. Sometimes you're going to come up empty. It's like fishing, right? Like sometimes you hit a lake or a river and you're just like, hey, I went to all these spots and I didn't get anything. Yeah. I didn't get any bites. You're going to have a night like that. You're going to have times like that, but that's where discipline comes in. You know, you're going to have to know when, hey, this is just, isn't the night. I mean, all the idiots are out and they're swiping right on everything. And so, hey, I was that idiot. That's why I can say that.
We all were at some point, right?
Yeah. So here's a real life example. I had a Stone Cold Steve Austin, one of one autograph, SGC 9/5/10, great. I got that card at Insight Sports. I won the card, did everything we're talking about. It was that same card had sold for about $300 some odd, maybe $350. I did exactly what I did. I was like, okay, $350 times 67. This is my max bid. Plug that in as a max bid. I walked with that card for $100. I sold that card recently for $280. So, those are the kind, by doing what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You can really find, and that's just one example, Zach. I mean, I get a lot of my inventory from Whatnot doing exactly what we're talking about. At the end of the day, Whatnot isn't about winning auctions. It's about winning after the auction. If you don't know your number, the room's going to decide the number for you. So use comps, use max bids, respect the taxes, and don't be afraid to leave when things get hot. There are always more cards, but there's only one bankroll. You got to protect it. It's discipline over dopamine.
I love that. That was great. Those are great tips. Those are great tips. Yeah. Well done. Well done. Yeah. I mean, it's, everybody gets on Whatnot for different reasons, right? Some people right. like the repack, some people, but like, as far as the singles go, I think you've just really laid out exactly how to go about and handle all that. So that's awesome. Before we move into the slab stuff and the numbers with that, is any other tips? Is that about it for Whatnot?
I think, you know, for Whatnot, I think that's about it. You know, the main thing, of course, is just be disciplined. And then you can always toy with the number too. Like if you're 60, mine's typically 67%. And that trickles me out after taxes to about 74%. Now, if I see a card that I want or a higher level card, that's another thing that I'm learning right now, actually. One thing that I'm learning right now is that percentages fluctuate in terms of importance depending on the dollar amount. The sure. higher dollar amount, if you're dealing with a $900 card, $1,000 card, well, those percentages can be higher mm-hmm. because those percentages represent greater numbers in value, that greater dollar amounts. So yeah. 80% or 80, let's say 85% for a $900 card leaves you plenty of room to make a margin versus 85% for a $12 card. Mm-hmm. Now you're still razor thin. And so that's something I'm learning too. I don't bid on $1,000 cards very often. I try to stay in the multi-hundred range tops and then try to get cards $50, $60, $70, $100. Yeah. That's really kind of a sweet spot for me because a lot of people, they just don't have the money to throw at $1,000 cards.
Right. Much more potential buyers for a $80 card than a $800 card for sure.
So that's been something that I've been learning recently is like, don't be married to the percentage when you're dealing with higher cards. You know, play with the math, find out what works for you. The last tip that I would give is be willing to, if you see a card that's super liquid, be willing to spend a little more, but not too much more. You have to know what that number is that makes sense for your bankroll. And moreover, you have to, there are plenty of cards that will give you a good deal. I have a card right now that only had one sale. It's a Shaden Sharp Black Choice Gold out of 8 PSA 9. Now I got a great deal for this card, but it's not liquid and it's hard to move.
Right.
And so the comps tell me that card is $450-$500. And it probably is, but I can't move it because Shaden Sharp is not someone who's chased widely and outside of Portland, you know, and outside of diehard. It's a rookie. It's a beautiful card. But in Alabama, where I am, shows, people don't care. So you have to factor that piece in. That's some of the more cerebral things you've just got to learn as you go.
I mean, it just kind of depends on like, and it depends on where, how you move. Like if you're buying for your eBay store, like maybe that's more okay to do.
Sure.
You know, because your audience is there. But yeah, if you're buying for local shows or, you know, whatever it might be, or your own whatnot store or whatever, I mean, you got to be thinking about like how you can move stuff too. I think it's a good tip to end on there for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think we're going to spend a ton of time on this, but I do think it's fascinating. So just looking at the December numbers, and I can't wait to see what this looks like for January when these numbers come out in a few weeks. But something that, I mean, we talked about how much of a stranglehold PSA has on the grading market on our previous show. And so these are just the numbers for December, but it's the number two that is just, it's honestly blowing me away. So in December, total items graded, PSA dominated the market with 1.83 million items graded. This is sport and TCG/non-sport. CGC second with 442K, and then Beckett is a distant third with 72K, and then SGC and Tag both had 41K a piece, which is fine. Okay, whatever. Like, and a lot of that we know CGC is going to be more popular in the TCG/non-sport market. But when you look at the graded sports cards, PSA, 615,000. CGC was second with 48K. SGC third with 38K. Then Beckett with 18K. And it's just amazing to me to think about the second most popular grader of sports cards is CGC. And I'm just like, where are these cards at? Where are they?
Yeah, I don't see them, man. I'm on Whatnot. I'm on Facebook groups. I'm on Discord, and I'm at live shows. I'm not seeing a ton of, in all of my buys, I probably spend anywhere from, I mean, in terms of just sheer liquidity, actual items that I'm purchasing, I probably buy hundreds of cards a week at varying levels.
Yeah.
In this month, I've probably bought, easily, I would say 300 cards. Okay.
Okay.
And so in those 300s, I bought multiple slabs. I've bought two SGC slabs, two, and both were Shohei Ohtani. So to your point, I'm not seeing, and I will buy a CGC slab using the formulas I was talking about earlier.
Sure.
I see Shohei. I'm going to run the numbers. I'm going to see if it's a good buy, if there's potential. And I bought a couple of those. But in terms of seeing actual CGC, I'm not seeing them either in my
streams. Vendors who all of their slabs are SGC. I'll see that. It's like, okay, they grade with SGC. Mm-hmm. That's fine. And you'll see some Beckett heavy. I mean, especially with like older vendors that have older inventory, like a lot of MJs and Kobe's and early year LeBrons are in Beckett slabs. That's pretty normal. So you see that, but yeah, I don't get it. I don't know where they are.
Okay.
The massive number for TCG for CGC was like over 300,000, I think, for like Pokemon and TCG and all that. That I see those on Whatnot, like on the Pokemon side of Whatnot. I see those.
Sure.
That's happening. I get that. And I see people bring Pokemon up to me all the time and it's CGC stuff. Like I see those. But yeah, them being the second largest grader in sports right now is just, just have a hard time believing.
Do you think that that's a recent development kind of in response to, I mean, I wonder what the numbers would be if we look back and saw like how much of that is a byproduct of collectors purchasing BGS and CGC before that.
So is that this, a recent spike? This is from October right here. This is sports cards graded in October. 703K PSA, CGC second with 71K. In October, there were more sports cards graded with CGC than SGC. No, not quite. SGC had 47K. Becca had 27K. But CGC clearly in second in October.
Yeah. So this is a recent, I mean, I think it's fair to say this is a recent spike.
No, I mean, they've been, we'll define recent. What do you mean?
I mean, I'm wondering if this is a result of the purchase. I think that I don't see
that didn't happen in. I mean, that was for those were October numbers, and so they were like 20K higher.
Okay, I thought you said SGC. Maybe I misheard you.
Maybe I said it wrong, but no, CGC's been they're clearly second in all of these. So this is September, 714. Sorry, this is sports in September. 714K PSA, CGC was second with 97K. SGC 56K, Beckett 32K.
That may be my mistake. I think I may have misheard you.
August of 25, SGC was second. So it really happened between August and September is when it jumped up. And that was really the fall off of SGC was in August.
Do you think that the collector's mindset and I'm not, when I say collectors, I'm talking about like personal collectors, people in the hobby,
not the company.
Right. Do you think that maybe this is a byproduct of some of the pushback of people saying, you know what, kind of what we were talking about last show. Hey, I'm going to look for a different alternative. I'm going to try to find something different. I mean, that would, to me, explain it. I wonder if there's a way we could look into that.
Yeah. I the PC thing, like how much do you care for your PC what's slabbed? Like
I care
most about there.
You know, man, appearance matters a lot. As I'm glancing up at one of my displays, appearance masters a lot, but here's why PSA continues to be a regular mainstay in my personal collection. Because at some point my thought is I'm going to be gone from this world and I want to leave some things behind for my kids, and they may not be as big of LeBron James fan as I am, or they may not love Cam Newton as much as I did. And so I want them to be able to have the easiest path forward to liquidate those things. And so that really, I know that's maybe a morbid way to think, but I'm thinking of, even with personal collection items, I'm still thinking of value. I'm still thinking of what will bring the biggest return for my kids when I'm gone.
Right.
If they last that long, or me, if I decide, hey, I'm kind of tired of LeBron, I'm going to start collecting Wimby or whatever the case might be. And so that's still, even with personal collection items, it still plays a role.
I send all my stuff to PSA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you were telling me the other day, Zach, that you like the appearance of like the slabs in SGC better.
I do like the appearance more, but they're a different size than the other ones. So like these Altex frames that I have.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, last I checked, like they don't have SGC ones.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you're right.
And like the cases fit SGC, but they're usually a little bit more snug. Mm-hmm. So it's still easier to get PSA. One thing I like CGC slabs too. I think CGC slabs and SGC slabs look better than PSA. It's personal opinion, whatever. I still send all my stuff to PSA, like, you know, take it for what it's worth. But
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know why you wouldn't send your stuff to PSA at this point, but people are sending their stuff more and more to CGC. And I think it's worth following for sure.
I love it, man. I love it. I give me any excuse to go to someone different. If
yeah, it's cheaper. If value, you probably get it back faster. Like, I'd love for it to be financially worth it. But a CGC 10, it doesn't. The multiplier isn't worth the risk to me.
I know. And until it is, until the community begins valuing the SGC 10, at least in the ballpark of a PSA, then I don't think it's going to change, but it's encouraging to me.
Yeah.
That we're looking at these numbers. I mean, because that's what I'm waiting on. I would love to send my stuff to CGC. I would love it.
Yeah. Be great. Be great. So we'll see what the market does. What has been your favorite product that has come out so far in 2026?
Okay, that's a good question. As you know, Zach, I'm disciplined over dopamine, but even though disciplined over dopamine, still like to have a little fun every now and then, and I'll join a break and I'll hate myself for it because I have the worst luck. I did it the other night. I couldn't find a good room. So I was like, there's a buyer that has bought from me before in my Facebook groups. And I thought, man, I'll go support him, and support him I did. I, to the tune of about $50, just donated for trash. I pulled like, and this is my luck, man. I pulled the Panthers. I pulled I don't even remember who. I mean, it was just the Steelers and someone else. I don't even remember. And, you know, got nothing, of course.
What product was it?
It was Certified Hobby. It was absolutely, you know, just some cheap stuff, some stuff that I could live with when I knew that I would inevitably just get trash, which is exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. But to answer your question, my favorite stuff to rip on the very rare occasions that I rip, dude, I like the Topps Chrome. I know they're expensive. I know the Topps Chrome NBA. I know they're expensive. I don't like that they cost almost $100 a box, but I like the look of them. I like that it's the first licensed. I like the potential. I think the autos look cool. Mm-hmm. And so I know from personal experience that I'm never going to pull an auto. I know who I am in this hobby. I know that I rip the commons, but I like the Topps Chrome. I think they look cool. I like the numbered stuff. They're just, and I'm a huge NBA fan. So that's my answer. What about you?
Yeah. I always prism football will always be towards the top. And I love that the Patriots aren't super expensive this year. Now that Drake May's got, you know, second year stuff in there. So that's nice. I'll go with Cosmic Baseball, and I'm not the biggest baseball guy, but that product, it looks so good. And the case hits of, like, you know, the different planets and like the stars and all that stuff. Like, I just think it looks so, so good. Don't love that an auto's not guaranteed in a hobby box. I don't love that, but it's one of the few products. It's one of the few baseball products that seems to be like not auto dependent, which is nice.
Yeah.
I think Cosmic Baseball this year is delightful.
So have you ripped any? Have you joined any breaks with Cosmic Baseball?
I've done
baseball?
Several breaks. Yeah.
Okay. Any big scores from those?
Some numbered stuff, like a numbered Acuna and a numbered Austin Riley, I think were probably my two biggest ones. I haven't done well with it, but man, I like it. It looks so good.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's great, man. Well, if I start to feel the urge to gamble a little bit more, I'll keep my eyes out for some Cosmic Baseball breaks so that I can clear the way for you to get some more numbered stuff, because I'll wipe those commons out for you, my friend.
Cosmic Football, when Topps gets the license, is going to be awesome too. Yeah. Cosmic Football was pretty good last year when it was unlicensed. But
I agree.
Later this year, they'll probably drop all that stuff. It's going to be a great product there too. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Thanks for hanging out with us. Whether you're watching or listening, we appreciate it a ton. Please consider subscribing. Also check us out on Instagram, auburn.cards. We'll see you next time. This has been Let's Talk Cards.